Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, first half of the show, I have a tale to spin about power outage and more. So that's coming, but it's good. That's always good. You know, it's me. You trust me. So we'll do that in a second. First, there's LifeLock. 267 million Facebook users had their names and IDs and phone numbers exposed, making them targets for spam, phishing, scams, and identity theft. Oh, people, it's 2020. Let's protect ourselves. Identity threats. You could miss them if you're just monitoring your credit. There's so much more than that. Good thing there's LifeLock, which detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number on sale on the dark web. If you become a victim of identity theft, your U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it, but you won't because you'll have LifeLock. You'll have the protection and the peace of mind that LifeLock offers. Right, Dawson?
Knowing to prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam for 25% off. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Willie T. Ribbs. With Gina Gratt on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Bet Online's Dave Mason gives his NFL picks. And now, amusing and abusing, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a trip. Thanks for tuning in, you guys. Thanks for sharing. I love it when you share with a friend and make this a great year for us and you as well. Good day, Gina Graham.
Good day to you.
Handball Brian.
Mayor of Zero Fucksville.
I
taking over.
Boy, you know how I... Well, a couple things. First off, leaving the house today, I was walking on sunshine, man.
Mm.
Oh, did
she
I
got the song ready?
Katrina.
I hacked the system, bitches.
Let's hear it.
I felt so good about myself.
You're using so many words you never use.
I know. Here's what I did. I got this stupid thing because, you know, I pay $1 million in property taxes. I got the thing going, your power will be shut off 8:30 a.m. to 3:30, whatever, date. That's like fantastic. What year is it again? What's going on? I feel like... For California, L.A. especially, whatever, the infrastructure shouldn't be this bad, right? In 2020, yeah. It just shouldn't be this bad.
It should be online.
I grew up here. In 1972, we didn't have power outages. That was a long time ago.
That's a development.
It'd be nice if we got it together a little bit. Yeah. Okay. But again, we don't have to pay any taxes, so we're fine. So we pay the most in taxes, and we seem like we have the worst everything. Airport, you know, mass transit, blah, blah, blah. So I get the thing, good Christ, the goddamn fucking power's going to be off. So I get up this morning, and I'm just staring at that clock. And 8:30 doesn't mean 8:30. It could mean 8:44, mm-hmm. or it could mean 9, or it could mean 8:28, or mm-hmm. whatever. And I'm just kind of staring. And there's no heads up. It just goes, you know. So I had an interview to do, and I was listening to the radio and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, all of a sudden, it's like 9:40. And it's like, hey, we're moving along here. And maybe this isn't happening. Maybe I get my power. Now, I have a hard out at 10 a.m. to come down to a whole bunch of podcasts. So I go in, and it's like, it's 9:45.
All right.
And I'm like, I still got power. So I go in, and I'm going to zap my coffee in the microwave, and I usually zap it for 30 seconds. My move is, but now I'm a little worried about this power business, and I'm hopping in my car.
It's an expensive 30 seconds.
So I zap it. I'm going for a minute.
Ooh.
I hit the coffee for a minute, and in the meantime, I'm going to run out and dip myself in the freezing pool.
Efficient.
By the way, had a interesting conversation yesterday with Tony Gonzalez, and I had Max Zapata look something up, and I was like, I don't know if I was proud or freaked out, but when we were talking to Tony, and I had him look up the temperature of the ice water that he would go into when he in his training camps right. and mm-hmm. stuff like that, the professional athletes. I was like, well, my pool I monitor, it's 48, 49, 50 degrees. The ice water's got to be ice water. It's going to be colder. He looked it up and he said it's between like 50 and 55.
Yeah. I was to say it's an ice because the ice is ice and water mix. So it's cold water.
It doesn't, you don't think of it, but if the water.
It has to be below freezing.
But you think about it this way. The room it's sitting in is 72 degrees. It's comfortable. Right. You're now adding water that would be 65 degrees, but you're putting ice in it and you're bringing it down. But you don't bring it down to a block of ice.
Yeah,
you bring it
down. So,
well, look at you.
The pool is colder than the ice water. With
it's like
ice
damn, bro,
floating in it.
Did you tell him it was adorable what he does?
Yeah,
that's cute.
So I dunk myself in the pool. I get out. I look at the clock like it's almost 10. I can't believe this. I get dressed and I grab as I'm walking out of my office, I'm like, I'm going to grab my coffee and head for the door. Boom, power drop. And I thought, fucking fine.
I'm hustling out this place.
I'm done with your power.
I'm done with you and your power. I pull my hot cup of coffee out just to taunt the lightning gods. Yeah, Zeus or whoever.
He throws the lightning bolts.
I take my battery operated and fully charged frother whipper stick and I go, bitches.
Not plugged in, am I?
No, this ain't Gilligan's Island. Fucking Marianne's not pedaling and there's no catgut attached to this. I'm fucking powered.
Yeah.
You think you cut
you.
My power? You didn't cut my power and I'm buzzing and frothing and frothing and buzzing. I've never felt better about myself.
Wow.
I have a frothy mug of coffee. I'm walking out of the door, and I am emboldened.
You're bounding out the door.
And I got a phone full of charge.
He's skipping out the
door. I got my earbuds fully charged.
Wow.
I'm like, fuck you, city, trying to thwart me. You can't stop me, bitches. And I throw open the garage door, and I push the garage door button, and I'm like, fuck, no. I keep pushing the button. The fucking door's shut, locked, and I'm like, no. I can't get the car
foiled.
Oh shit!
I had so much fucking momentum when I kicked.
Brutal.
I kicked open the door from the house to the garage. Like there's a new sheriff in town.
Oh, you're like Ted Nugent in the high enough video.
Yes.
Bullets flying off your guitar. Like bring it, cops.
Off the frother.
I look at the fucking garage door. I'm like, oh fuck. And then I think to myself, wait, and I push the button. It's like, of course, nothing.
So what do we do?
Well, I know how to disengage it and manually lift it up. And I had to spill the coffee, disengaged it.
Everything
was heavy. It's all dusty and shit. And I was like, fucked myself up.
You were so close.
But I felt so damn good when I hit, when I was setting that frother down, I never felt better. Never felt more alive.
Yeah.
Speaking of all of this, you are the inspiration for one of my items that I still want. I've wanted most of my life, which is a generator, a whole home generator.
Yeah.
Yes.
It feels like a tall order, both price-wise and maintenance-wise, but do you have still one of those? You had one of those at one point.
I did one of those. I have had those. The one that is powered by natural gas, not by diesel or whatever. You literally hardwire it, hardline it to your natural gas.
Oh. What's the price point of one of those? Get more or less.
More than like 80
it's
bucks?
It's all how many. 5,000? How many?
I'm kidding.
It's sort of like this. You can do a lower. No. I don't know off the top of my head, but here's what I'm basically saying. How many circuits do you want? Do you want
just
to
the
power the refrigerator?
Yes.
The
hot water
air conditioner, air conditioning, hot water. How many circuits? Mm-hmm. You want to keep adding circuits, you can keep adding to the price of the unit because you have to keep more kilowatts.
You might have to read a book instead of watch Netflix.
You can probably get a not one on wheels, but like one that's mounted on a port on a little slab or prefab slab and wired into the panel and wired into the system, the natural gas. It will fire itself up to test itself, just to keep itself
once
a month or something like that. I think you could probably start something like that in the, $800 bucks, $1,000 bucks.
Can't afford not to.
But then somebody's got
$10,000.
Somebody's got to hook it into I'm really at the bottom,
okay.
but about $800 or $900 for a bare one. Right. And then sort of up from there. But you have to pay someone sort of buku bucks to hook it into the panel and everything.
But in L.A., it's almost like, oh, yeah, I really should get that go bag together for an earthquake. Like, no one ever does it. We know we should.
Well, my problem is I've been kind of looking into this, but I've been also wanting to do the battery wall. Like the reason I haven't done that is because there's a few companies that make the full battery wall, mm-hmm. and where you want to be is you want the solar charging the batteries,
right.
And it's a lot of money.
Ideally, where you park your car, right? Because that you can do that with that.
It'll be you can do everything off it, and I've looked into it, and it's really expensive
now. How many years in does it pay for itself? Because they say it'll pay for itself.
Yeah, that's the whole whole pitch. The solar,
you'll be dead, but your kids.
Yeah, the whole solar is like, oh, well, with the battery wall and the panels and installation, it's $118,000, but it'll pay for itself in 41 years. Right. And you're like,
just 5 years after your death, it'll be paid off.
Yeah, so
leave it to your kids.
It's a little bit of that, and then there's always there's incentives from the state of California, but they all expire. And They say
it's in the commercial.
They want you to do something, but they kind of act differently, in at least in California.
Yep.
And I would this is my feeling for all things Greta Thunberg, which is I'm down with all of it. Just make it a little easier.
Yeah.
And make it a little, the average human being can't just throw $100,000 toward renewable electricity that their kids will enjoy and will be paid off when their kids are in their 30s. Like, it's just not
feasible.
I'm down with windmills, too. Yeah. I'm down with everything,
it's
got to work.
Right.
It's got to be usable.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's
feasible.
And accessible.
Accessible. Like, I like the idea of an airbag in a car, but if it added $41,000 to the cost of every car, then it really wouldn't be. And then people go, well, don't you like safety? And I'd go, yeah, I do. Yeah. But it's got to be accessible.
Yeah.
All right. So I was feeling good about myself, and then I wasn't. I had a crazy conversation in here with a legendary Pete Brock, and Pete Brock was the guy who was in the Shelby American doc, and I think the 24-hour, and he's the guy who's the designer who got the car, told Shelby. Shelby wanted to go race internationally, wanted to go to Europe, he wanted to go to Daytona, he wanted to do everything. He had this Cobra, the Shelby Cobra that you guys can all picture, a little two-seater sports car, convertible, no roof and whatever. They just couldn't get the aerodynamics to get that top speed at Le Mans, the straightaway, and blah, blah, just couldn't make the thing move. And so Shelby gives it to, says to Brock, Venice, California, when Brock's 23 years old or something, he goes, how do we get this car to move? And Brock's like, well, I used to work for GM. I worked on Corvettes when I was 19.
Way back when.
Designing.
It's a prodigy.
And guy's still alive. And there's a picture of him standing next to his Daytona. And he was the guy who was walking out when you guys were walking in.
Man, he looks cool.
And
he looks like a cool guy.
He's standing. He's a super sweet guy.
Yeah.
And he's standing there and says to Shelby, well, I think I can put a body on this thing, and I think I can make it go fast. And Shelby goes, okay, do it. And then Brock goes, how much money do we have? And Shelby's like, we don't have any money. But what we have is a Cobra that one of the guys crashed. So take that.
Have at
refurbish
it.
That.
Yeah, the body's all busted up and everything, but you can use the chassis, and then just use the frame and the chassis and the engine, and
it's
go
all
ahead.
Yours.
And you have 7 weeks or whatever, where it was before Daytona. And Brock's like, okay. And Brock remembers looking at papers when he was at GM in German, but it had all the calculations on it. And he's like, I remember those papers. I'll find those papers. And there was a German engineer from the 30s who figured out this shape and he could cut the rear end off and fool the air. And everyone was like, you're crazy. You want to go fast. It's got to be shaped like a bar soap, a long bar. Literally, what they designed is, Brock was telling me, the German guys, the guy who designed it, the grandfather of them all, he designed Zeppelins.
Oh, well, there you
airships.
Go. Yeah.
And if you picture an airship, the end just keeps going until it comes to an end, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, that's the design. That's how you cheat the air. It's an airship. And Brock and this guy were like, yeah, but those things are 200 feet long and they move at like 8 miles an hour. This is a race car. And they're like, that's the conventional wisdom is you need to come way out. His thing is I'll chop it off at the right angle and I'll fool the air. I'll make it think it's doing that. It's not. And everyone said, you're nuts.
Take that air.
It's not going to work. And everyone at the shop went, you're nuts. And then the Ford guys came down from the Ford defense contracting arm who had use of aerodynamic wind tunnels and things and went, that's not going to work. And he went, well, I've read the paper, and I think it's going to work. And he built that car.
Wow.
And that car, he told me, I said, what was the top speed for Cobra coupe going down the Mulsanne Strait at Le Mans? He said, topped out about 160, maybe 161. I said, what did your car do at Le Mans? Same car, same engine, same wheelbase, same chassis, same everything, just literally sheet metal. He said, 197 is what we did on that, on the Mulsanne Strait.
Well done.
And I was like, well, you just did it now, didn't you, bucko? And but the story...
Get in line for my apology.
The story I like... Here. The story I like is... How I love there's two stories I love most. I love the how much did somebody pay for that car? Mm. What's it worth now? And who turned it down, including Pete? Those cars all went to Europe. They won a bunch of races. Shelby wanted to dump them in the North Sea because he's like, I don't want to pay for shipping. I don't want these cars.
They're done.
They're done. They came back. They took one of them. And they went to the Salt Flats, and they set like a speed record or whatever with it. It came back. That's the one that won the first championship at that won at Le Mans, won its class at Le Mans, won the European championship. Came back, pulled it into Shelby's shop after being on the Salt Flats. Was kind of fucked up from being on the Salt Flats, and said to Brock, "Give me $800." $800 for this car. And Brock's like, no way. I think it's a pile of shit. It's all fucked up. Like, it needs to be fixed.
No.
I'm not going to pay. Shelby then goes, all right, you don't want to buy for $800? Fine. Goes up to his office, calls Craig Breedlove, the guy who's the salt guy and the world record, the guy had it out on the Salt Flats, and said, Craig, give me $800 for this car. And he goes, nah, I got no use for it. And then Shelby goes, and I've never heard this story before. Shelby goes, fine, $500. The guy goes, no.
Wow.
No. Turns him down. I said, where's that car now? I said, it's at the museum. It's in Finian or whatever. I can't think of the name of the museum in Philadelphia, outside Philadelphia, whatever. Simeon Museum in Philadelphia. I said, well, what's that car worth? Does anyone know what that car's worth? And Pete's like, well, there's a guy in Japan who has one. It's not as good as this one. He just turned down $22
million. That's good.
Imagine your life where you had that car offered you for $800 and a lesser version of it was $22 million. And by the
enough?
Way, no, ain't no royalties or anything either for Pete. That's that.
Has Pete made his peace with this? Good cocktail story.
The one good thing about these guys and the reason they're able to do everything in life is they don't have that rearview mirror, pardon the pun. They just move forward. They literally just move forward. He moved forward. He started BRE. Those are the cars I have in race.
He must have gone over to your shop and looked at him.
Oh, yeah. He's
Has
over
he been there.
There
before?
Oh, yeah. He's been over there before. He's the one who told me to buy a 510 BRE years ago. He was going to do Toyota and got screwed by Shelby. Shelby came in and pulled it out sort of from Shelby. Toyota and Shelby kind of screwed him. He went over to Datsun, and then he dominated and beat Shelby wherever he went.
That's what he does, huh?
That's what he does.
In the face of adversity, he just wins.
He had guys, this is in the doc, but he had his guys still back at the Shelby shop after Shelby pulled the rug out of him and were racing Toyota. And his guys would alert him when Shelby was going out to pick up some points somewhere at some faraway racetrack, and he'd go over there with his and go take the points off him. So that was interesting. Also, the chapter and the thing that's insane about Brock is he then got out of cars altogether after just dominating with these Datsuns and BRE, invented hang gliders, designed hang gliders. Designed hang gliders and then set world records for hang gliding.
Okay.
And hang gliding.
Sure.
Why not?
They love transportation.
It's like a lost Wright brother.
You know the altitude these guys hang glide at? 12 to 15,000.
You can do that?
On oxygen.
Oh, my God.
And cover hundreds of miles.
Wow.
Holy
crazy hang gliding.
It's wild.
His 12-year-old son died in a hang gliding accident.
Oh, God.
Could you imagine? Look at kids today. I got 13-year-olds, right? Yeah.
He's a couch falling accident.
I was like, Pete, I know it's a hard thing to talk about. He's like, he was a good pilot. He started at 10. I'm like, could you imagine?
Jesus.
Imagine Christy or Lynette going, letting the kids get up in a hang. At age 10, we're going off a cliff.
No. Tessa's 3. She says he's only a few more years till she starts hang gliding.
Said he was a good pilot.
Wow.
Not good enough.
Lost this 12-year-old.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ. And it's got to be. It's insane because this is. You were racing cars. You stopped racing cars. You started building hang gliders. And that's why your son was hang gliding, you know, or you're into that sport, you know.
Well, I know you already gave me the answer to the last question. And I imagine it's a little more complicated with this. But you think, you know, oh, my God, you turned down an $800 car. It's over $22 million. I wonder therapeutically how he deals with this.
I got to tell you, these guys are from a different...
it's not his fault. I'm just saying.
These guys are from a different generation. It's a generation of folks who fought in World War II or fought in wars whose kids went off to war or who went off to war.
They just had a
little different approach to life.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, they just... I mean, think about all the families who sent their 17, 18, 19-year-old sons off to the European or Japanese theater. Yeah. I mean, that's just what you did, kids. That shit happens, sort of thing. And they did not approach... Their relationship with life is much different than our relationship with life. You know, we have... Everything is so safe. There's no risk. But as I said, Pete's a real sweet guy. Personally, he's a sweet guy. He's a genius, but he's a very sweet guy. I said, look, my parents are in their 80s, and they died when they were born. They haven't done a goddamn thing. I mean, you want to get in and hang glide. You want to race cars. You want to get out there and hang it out. There is chance you're not coming back.
There's
also a chance you're going to rot on a sofa with my dad. And your biggest concern is who's going to buy you a trumpet in your 80s. You know what I mean? That's not a life led. Right.
That's true.
Obviously, there's a risk that you gets cut short when you get behind the wheel of a race car. You strap into a hang glider. But the alternative of no life is a pretty scary alternative in my world.
That's well said.
As well. All right.
So you know the guy who invented the chili cook-off and the hang glider?
Well, the chili cook-off, Shelby, is... I only met the guy once, but we'll be getting all schooled up on him. I thought that... I love the fact... I see, the story I always had in my head is all the cars came back from Europe, and Shelby went, give me $3,000. I didn't know this one was $800, and I didn't know it got lowered to $500. This one is the one that Phil Spector bought, is the one that he gave... Phil Spector eventually got it. Phil Spector eventually gave it to his security guard. His security guard eventually gave it to his daughter. His daughter eventually sold it to the museum where it resides now and set herself on fire on a hiking trail.
Jesus.
Oy vey.
Yeah.
Careful what you ask for, people.
Yeah. Well, look, anyone who's going to try to plan their life or figure out life or make sense of life or really know here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do that. You can look at, let's just take the players here. Let's take a look at Carroll Shelby. Had no fucking idea what that guy had no idea where his life was going. He was a chicken farmer, bad part of Texas. Pete Brock. Did Pete Brock have any ideas of this? Or his son with the hang glide, the tragedy, and the highs and the lows, or whatever. What about Phil Spector? What do you think he knew? Do you think he knew what this was going to be?
Life went a very different trajectory at one point.
But who knew when he was 10 what he was saying he was going to do versus what he did do versus what ended up happening? What happened to the gal he shot?
Yeah.
Well, what did she think it was going to happen? What was her plan? She was a beautiful starlet. She came out here to act. Like, what was her plan? What was the plan of the daughter of the security guy who was given this Daytona who set herself on fire after selling? What was her plan? Jeez, who knows what the plan is? this notion of like, hey, there's a plan.
Maybe
good luck to you.
Maybe not.
Good luck with the plan, everybody. I would say if you get that chance to race that car, take it. Or hop into that hang glider. Take it, because I don't know what the plan is. You could tell somebody, I'm not going to go hang gliding. Too dangerous. Mm-hmm. Next day, Phil Spector shoots you. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but
very likely.
It's on the table.
Sorry. It's not very likely, but it
could happen.
It's about 40%.
In the realm of possibility.
Low double digits.
All right. Let's see. I got some plans. I got Dave Mason's on the line. Is Dave just going to come out of thin air?
Yep.
Oh, here he is. Let's see. What do I have, Dave? There we go. Dave from betonline.ag. Dave?
How's it going?
It's going good. I want to talk a little football with you and get your thoughts on a couple of things as well. First off, Brian probably knows that Carson Wentz put out by this Jadeveon Clowney hit. Mm-hmm. Everyone just kind of skated past it. Well, you know, Wentz didn't give himself up. He was running the ball or whatever. Right. Jadeveon Clowney's a huge man, and he led with his head. And he took a guy out who was a starting quarterback at home in the first quarter. He did not return. He was replaced by a 40-year-old guy who was not in football a year ago. And they hung on. They did what they could do. But it was a pretty big change in an outcome of a game.
Massive.
And if you watch the play, and I don't – Jadeveon Clowney's not been fined or anything to the best of my knowledge – he led with his head, and it was a play he didn't need to do. Wentz was going down and almost on the ground. I don't know. We'll show Gina the play, and then Gina will wince a little bit. And in a world where we're looking to protect and head protection, not leading with your head, he led with his head. And I don't – you know, it's a funny thing when players do dirty things. They always go, oh, he's not a dirty player. It's like, yeah, he's not. And he's not a bank robber, except for he did rob that bank. Like, he's not – Jadeveon Clowney is not a dirty player, but he speared him.
My recollection is this play didn't look that bad at the time. It was only upon replay, like, oh, he smashed him with his helmet.
Yeah. Was there any fines or anything? And I guess we're trying to play it, but we can't.
Yeah, we'll play right now.
Oh, okay. We'll just show it. He's scrambling around, and then he goes out. And he really leads with his head, like
we'll put up the slow mo.
They'll show the slow mo, but he dove on him and he bowed his head, like he.
Yep,
that is totally unnecessary. And you led with your head, and the quarterback was on the ground, and you put him out of the game. Shouldn't there be some fines for that?
There was no attempt at a tackle. He didn't wrap up. He didn't even attempt to grab him.
Yeah, it was clearly on purpose.
Yeah, just a little missile
that didn't draw a flag. You do that, by the way. That happens in a college game, you get ejected from the game.
Yep.
Dave, what do you think?
No, I agree with you. I mean, you know, it's a lot of those, you know, it's football, and, you know, 10 years ago, that's just a regular tackle, right? So, but all this head injury stuff, and it's a different game now. So, you know, the defensive player has to be cognizant of that, right? I mean, it's bang, bang play, but lean with your head on a quarterback who's going down. I mean, you just... is to stay away, and you know, from a book's perspective, we hated it even more because we needed the Eagles big. So losing Carson, I mean, that just, you know, that wasn't good for our need either. But no, I agree, and a lot of those helmet to helmets are headshots. I mean, not every time a guy hits the guy in the other head with his helmet, you know, it's a bad hit. So, you know, but the guy at the ball could be adjusting at the last second, and all of a sudden their helmets clash, and sure, it's technically helmet to helmet, but it really isn't, because there's nothing you can do at the last second. But this one, he definitely could have prevented himself or went in there a lot less recklessly, I guess.
Hey, Dave, are you wearing a headset or an earbud or something? We're getting a little...
Headset.
Are you stationary and not rubbing anything?
I'm not rubbing anything at the moment.
No, I know. It's... But bad.
Want me to go headset less?
It's always a little controversial over here, but no, it's fine. It's Skype. Right. Skype's always screwy. And the problem with Skype is it sounds like something is happening, but it's not it's not really happening.
Like you're on a nice bike ride.
It's a crappy connection. Yeah. All right. But then it magically clears up. Go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
No, I mean, that's kind of where I ended.
How come the league is not fining Clowney? How come he has not been fined?
It's only Wednesday. It could still happen.
Yeah, but normally they kind of jump on this stuff, don't they? There's nothing that Max Zapata told to look.
I don't know. Maybe nothing. They just wanted to disappear since it was such a big game and the big, you know, outcome and so controversial. And the last thing they want is another, the refs missed a call kind of controversy like last year when the Saints-Rams thing. I don't know. Maybe they just hope it kind of disappears and they avoid the they avoid another controversy.
Do you remember? It reminded me a little bit. Do you guys remember? I think it was around 2000. I think it was the year the Ravens won the Super Bowl when Tony Siragusa made that massive hit on Rich Gannon and he sandwiched him and he just collapsed on him, which might be illegal today, like driving the quarterback. But back then it was like,
oh, he flopped on it.
Yeah, a 320-pound man flopped on Rich Gannon and put the Raiders out of the playoffs. That was a good Raiders team.
I don't like that. And he literally just flopped.
That's a penalty.
That looked like one of those like sumo wrestling costumes where you just want to bounce into somebody. That didn't look like an actual play.
The league has to really come down on quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks in playoff games being removed from the game in the first quarter through late or unnecessary or illegal hits. That is, you literally just ruin the game. Yeah. You'll have literally a 40-year-old guy who does not in the league come in a playoff game and try to win a game that's sort of unwinnable at this point.
Drawn dead.
So Clowney should be disciplined, or he should be fined, or they should do something.
Yeah, nothing as of yet, but they're saying if there is going to be a discipline, it's most likely going to be a fine, not a suspension.
Yes.
And Dave, Clowney's had his issues before, right? He's been disciplined before the league?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's kind of, some people kind of say he's a dirty player, so, you know, there is a little bit of a pass with him, so.
I think you just said it.
This was fairly egregious. The other thing I got from watching the playoff games was, and I was glad my son was with me, because when I think it was the Bills DB, when he sacked the Texans quarterback the first time. Oh, God. What's a quarterback?
Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson.
I was just going to say that.
He sacked Deshaun Watson, and we'll show it. Earlier in the drive, the game-winning drive.
This is a crazy game.
He sacks Deshaun Watson. And we'll show you the play. He's running out and he sacks him and starts taunting him after he sacks him. 33 pulls him down. Then he pops up and he talks some shit. And he punches his chest and he talks a little more shit and he taunts him. Okay, and I remember watching that, going, it's like when you see guys and it's like, oh, it's second and goal, and they're on the 4-yard line, and they try to throw a timing pattern to the corner, and the DB gets his hand up at the last second, and the guy's celebrating his ass off, and it's like, hey, buddy,
there's
a couple more plays here. This game isn't over. So that guy sacks Deshaun Watson in the last drive, and looking pretty good, and he's punching his chest, and he's talking shit about the guy. Well, guess who gets posterized five plays later? Guess who the guy, go ahead and play it, who has a clean run at him, misses him, Deshaun pulls out, throws it, wins the game.
That was a spectacular play.
It was a spectacular play, and the dude who was taunting him is the dude who had a free shot at him. And by the way,
man.
Now, so you just got posterized. And I was sitting next to my son, and I said, Sonny, that's why you don't talk shit.
That's right.
Or if you do, wait till the final bell is wrong.
Wouldn't that kind of go under the whole no showboating? I mean, you're still putting somebody down and you're still stopping the clock to do a dance about it.
Well, they didn't stop the clock, but
I mean, but it took a few seconds.
It's why I don't know how you do it, but if you're a defensive coordinator or whatever, it's like that part where you stop the guy for a 2-yard loss and then run down to the opposite end zone and mug for the cameras, just fucking knock it off. Mm-hmm. We got to wait till the game's over.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. So that guy literally pretty much lost the game for his team by not wrapping up. If he would have sacked him there, it would have been a completely different game.
You think his coach had something to say about that? How embarrassing.
A lot of these guys you can't talk to.
Oh, really? They're not open to suggestions?
No. No. Sorry, Dave. Thoughts?
I agree. It's one of the things that annoy me about not just football, but sports in general. Just these guys just making it all about themselves. Like, go win the damn game and then celebrate. But I don't know. Maybe I sound like, I think we sound, maybe sound like a bunch of old fuddy duddies here or whatever. But
I do.
But it's true though. It's freaking annoying, man.
We do. I get called like old white man all the time. Except for when I was 17, I had the exact same thoughts.
Yeah. You're an old white man then.
That's right.
I mean, remember Barry Sanders? I mean, he just scored a touchdown, hand the ball to the ref. You know, these guys, they.
Oh yeah!
If anyone deserved to celebrate, it was Barry Sanders.
Exactly. Right? They won the damn Super Bowl and the best running back of all time. Just hand the ball off to the ref. You know,
no, John.
Act like you've been there before, whatever the saying is. It's freaking annoying, and that's probably the biggest thing that annoys me about sports today is that look at me, pound my chest attitude. But that's society as a general now. Everybody's on Facebook, Instagram, look at me, look at me, look at me, and it's no different in professional sports.
John Riggins was always funny. John Riggins scored a touchdown to Super Bowl and just tossed the ball to the ref as he was running by him. The biggest problem with John Riggins is the ref would have his hands held up like touchdown, and he'd be throwing him the ball as he was going past him.
Don's off his shoulder.
Hit the poor guy in the sternum. All right, Dave, give us your picks for this week. Tell us what you think.
Oh, wow. It's a tough one. I kind of like the dogs. A lot of big spreads out there. Nothing under a field goal, which is kind of weird. You have Minnesota +7 at the Niners.
I like that. I like Minnesota there.
I'd look at that. If that game was during the regular season, are they getting 7 on the road? The answer is no. It's under a touchdown. So even though they played last week and San Francisco had to bye, I got to take the +7. They've covered 4 out of the last 5 games. Next game, Titans at Ravens. Ravens have been covering everything this year. I think they're 9-1 against the spread in the last 10 games. That game is now up to -10. They were -9 just a few hours ago, so that's up to -10. Now the Ravens. I wouldn't touch the Titans there. It's a lot of points, double-digit spread. But if I had a bet, I'm taking the Ravens -10, even though it's a lot of points. I just can't see the Titans hanging with them.
Hey, Dave, I'm sorry. Yeah. The line is just too chaotic. So
gale force wind.
Speaking of the line, sorry. But let's just leave it at 2 and because of the static is too big. But say hi to Dave Mason at betonline.ag. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, folks.
Sorry. Skype world.
Well, that was wind. He was clearly blowing
on a
headset.
That was breath, percussive breath against his microphone.
Oh, breath. Oh.
Yeah, that was
breath. Do you think he had a headset with a microphone on?
Yeah, and they actually have he could have moved it a little down, kind of below his chin.
We're gonna recycle this argument. I've had so many bad connections with Skype that sound like what's going on. Like, are you on a motorcycle? Like, no,
that was
I'm on my sofa.
A wind tunnel. Yeah. That was. I don't think that's the connection per se. That's user error.
But these guys always just say they have a mic or an earbud or they're sitting down or something.
Sound like he was outside.
Like the microphone was essentially right on his lips.
All right, well, get him back up now. Is he outside and it's windy? Is that what's going on?
No.
That's just my guess.
Outside.
Yeah, that was my guess. I don't know.
I'm saying the connection is bad.
My guess is he's sitting at his computer and the microphone just
says he's outside.
What do I know? I just guessed.
I don't think he's on a power walk while he's doing this.
Yeah. It's a nice day down there in Jamaica, wherever he is. Cayman Islands.
Would be a nice place to walk and talk. All right. Well,
I think we got him.
Dave?
Yeah.
Are you indoors or outdoors?
I am indoors.
Where are you?
What device are you using?
My laptop. I just took the headset off. I don't know if this sounds any better on my speaker.
Much better.
Oh, well, let's keep. Now we have to keep going to see how this works. Now, you want to get, but also we hung up and called back.
Put the headset back on, Dave.
All right, put the headset back on and let's see what it sounds like.
Why are you still unwilling to accept that as a headset issue?
Well, because I have horrible connections with Skype all the time. Okay. And I talk to the people and they go, I just got an earbud in. And it sounds like everything's horrible, but Skype has failed me so many times.
It's back on.
All right, now sing the dreidel song.
What, the dreidel song?
Yeah.
Dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay, that one?
That's the one.
All right,
keep
going.
Put your heart into it.
Yeah.
Really get into it.
I haven't sung it since like third grade, but I'll give it a shot.
Okay, how about you recite? How about you do the Gumby theme song?
Nope. I don't know. I don't know that one. That's not in my repertoire.
Dreidel, it is.
Okay, do dreidel.
Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. I made it out of clay. When it's dry and ready.
But it's not doing the windy sound.
I'm going to guess that the microphone is in a different position from Dave's mouth than it was during that interview.
Is that correct, Dave?
Is your microphone like on a gooseneck?
No, it's how I usually have it. I don't know.
Sounded much better on the speaker though. Before,
all right, oh yeah, much better.
Well, let's keep do the dreidel song.
It has a lovely body.
At the first line, that's it. You're talking third grade.
Legs all right, now things. Unplug it and let's see what it sounds like minus your headset.
Do I have to sing again?
Hello.
Oh, right. Crystal right,
keep
clear.
Going.
Check 1, 2, 3.
All right, now do the dreidel song.
And when it gets all tired, it drops, and then I win.
Dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay. What was the next line?
And when it's dry and ready, then dreidel, I shall play.
Dry and ready, then dreidel, I shall play.
When it's dry and ready, yeah, that's it.
All right, everyone's got to get, earbuds or whatever going on?
Yes, earbuds.
That's what we need. Okay, thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Apology.
Poor Dave.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's his headset. Jesus Christ. But also, Skype's horrible. Every time I talk to someone on Skype, there's always some fucking issue. Mm. So, I don't know. Why isn't Skype better?
I don't know. Maybe it's the connection to this building. I have no idea. I've always had good luck with Skype. Well, most people have, right?
I don't know. You got to go. I've done so many shows where we tried to Skype someone in. Yeah. It just never fucking works. I've done a few other people's shows. It does work. It's just...
You never know.
My batting average is not good with Skype. But then again, I have an electromagnetic sphere around me that is some sort of fucking thing that ruins all electronics.
I believe that that's true. I don't know if you're kidding or not. But seriously, yeah. I knew a
There's
girl. I knew a girl, and I don't know that you have this, but I knew a girl in college who couldn't wear watches or have stuff like that around her because the watches would stop when they were on her body.
Yeah.
So maybe you just have that, but in Jesus. More of an ethereal
way. Lori Geller.
That's funny.
Jesus.
That's good.
I got to look that shit up, bitches. I like using bitches now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I have a bad batting average with like phones and car phones. I came in here screaming today because I was late because I had a phoner to do in Milwaukee. I'm going to be at the Pabst Theater January 24th and at a phoner to do, and I may sit in my office and have a phone call in my office. I may not get up and walk across my house and get my car Mm-mm. and leave without it breaking
That's
off
so weird.
I can't walk across my house. That I now sound- have lived in, this is probably my sixth house where I don't have cell phone coverage in my house. If I pull up to my house in my car, I have to hang up on the person. I can't get out of my car and walk into the kitchen and through the thing. And when I do like one of those goddamn radiothons,
yeah, junkets.
3 hours mm-hmm. of junket, I have to sit my fucking office. I can't. You're talking to 31 radio stations. At some point, you want to walk into the kitchen and pour some coffee and stir it up and come back and walk back into
the for you.
Can't do it. No. It'll fucking cut off in the kitchen. Every single house I've lived in, I don't have cell phone reception in, or I do in some parts of,
yeah.
of the house, but
dozens.
Not others.
Yeah.
And anyone right. listening, please tell me how I can fix this. And then somebody, AV Ed, will be like, well, we can fix it, but you got to get a $5,000 receiver tower, whatever. And I said to Ed, fuck it. I mean, what's plan B? Never being able to have a conversation in my house?
I got plan B. Mm. Move into a tiny house. No. It doesn't matter what room you're in. You're right there.
I love it. Now kill yourself.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. I have a commercial. It's like a commercial grade thing. It's vexing me. It's vexing me. It's a new... Who's it for again?
AT&T.
They run all those commercials where the doctor comes in and he's like...
He's just okay.
Yeah. You a little nervous about your surgery? I am too. I hope it works. And then he walks out. It's a... It's an interesting, it's a decent concept. Funny, yeah, it's decent. It's no Terry Tate office linebacker.
No, it's not.
But there's one that they're doing where the woman goes to get her tax repaired, and the guy's behind the counter, and it's kind of funny. But as I've said many times, you can be funny, you can be unfunny, but you can't be confusing. Mm-hmm. Confusing is the worst thing you can be when you're doing expressing any idea, but right, especially in a commercial.
In 60 seconds.
You have 60 seconds to do it. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and then we're going to play this commercial, and you guys tell me what the joke is.
Okay.
ACS fans, get it on. The NFL playoffs are here, and you know what that means. We're getting closer and closer to that final Sunday of the season. You've heard Adam rant about pass interference, ball spotting, and field goal posts on the podcast. But now's your chance to experience it live. When you sign up for the newsletter at CorollaNewsletter.com, you'll be automatically entered for a chance to win an all-expense-paid trip to Los Angeles to watch the last game of the season in the Carr Museum with Adam and friends. That's wings, barbecue, plenty of endless rant, and hey, it's Hollywood, so who knows who'll be there? So get to CorollaNewsletter.com today. You and a friend may be flying out to the city of homeless angels to hear Adam rant live about the spread Sal made him bet on. CorollaNewsletter.com, today! In the spirit of Murrow, Jennings, Cronkite, here's another great moment in local news.
Lamborghini is partnering with Amazon's Alexa, giving some drivers the ability to talk to their cars. The voice-activated system will be installed in Lamborghini's 2020... Is it Huracan, Garth?
Huracan. I'm a Porsche guy.
All right. Anyway, Huracan Evo models.
That's a great moment in local news. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I think it's Huracan, but it looks like Hurricane.
Yeah, we'll say Hurricane.
All right, so there's this commercial, and it's that AT&T commercial, and the guy's, it's kind of funny, the guy's playing a kind of a dicey accountant, and at some point he makes a deal out of, oh, my new name is, and then I stare at it, and like, I try to do a wordplay on it or run them together or figure it out what the joke is, and I'm not getting it. I Googled it in.
I remember finding this one amusing. Like he said, so-and-so died in a plane accident or something like that.
Fell off a boat.
Yeah, so there was something. Okay. Well, let's see. Because I don't remember specifically.
But the name, it's just the name. Like he presents it like it's a joke.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Sorry.
You leave it to me. I'll get your taxes in an okay place.
What?
Well, just as soon as my audit is over. This gets my undivided attention.
You take a lot of trips to the Caymans, Phil.
Pretty great, right? Oh, Phil's legally dead. Fell off a boat. Going by Dennis now. Solari. Long story. What do we got? Oh, no. You're not going to want to see this.
Let me think this is going to work.
Just okay is not okay.
It makes a deal out of the Dennis Solari, and they do a close-up on the plaque.
And we should point out that it's spelled celery.
Celery.
Right. But I sit there, and I'm going... Dennis Solari.
Is there something there?
Salary. Dennis, deny salary.
We're working too hard.
What do we...
Salary would be good.
They go... Yeah, Denny salary. Well, look, we're living...
Like for a tax accountant.
We're living in a world where Ernest T. Bigot's wife is named...
Rachel Epithet.
Right, that's a joke. But we got it. Mm. So they go... He says, that guy's dead... Here's what goes close on the placard, says it, puts it down.
Yeah, they highlight it, and that shouldn't be a joke.
And
that's
so
an unnecessary tag.
I'm sitting there thinking, all right, I missed a joke. Right. But what is the joke? I'm not a very good speller. Maybe you put the two words together, you get one word that has something to do with being audited or something. I don't know what's going on. So I like start Googling it in, and like nobody knows what's going on. Nobody can make anything out of it. Dawson, you have thoughts?
I only thought that he changed his last name to Celery, and in the whole, you know, everybody in a commercial is supposed to be dumb, especially, so this guy, he is dumb and he's unethical, and the joke's on him because he changed his name to Celery. I just think it's poor writing. I think they gave you half a joke and they just left it there.
Well, I don't even know what the first half of the joke is. Like,
I think
the joke
his name.
Is it's funny that he changed his name to Celery, and he pronounces
what is
it Celery.
Yeah,
that's the only joke there.
Celery or celery? What's that?
Yeah, that whole part of the
counting
thing
or anything.
Zero. That's why I said half a joke.
Yeah, but I'm not even down with the first half. This is a weird thing.
The funny part is he faked his own death, but then it's unnecessarily tagged with this name that makes no sense.
That's what I'm saying. The punchline is that he changed his name. Why are they focusing on a very odd choice of a name?
Well, he said it's a long story.
Right, okay.
And once in a while, these things have follow-up stories.
Yeah, they're part of a larger...
You have to go online and see how the guy faked his death or whatever it is. Now,
celery farmer?
There could be... something there. Yes, he was drinking a Bloody Mary on the back of the ship. It's confusing to me, and all it does is get me angry, because you can come up with a funny punny name that means something, or you can just go Ralph Smith, which means nothing. You chose to do something in between. You picked celery, which could be salary or something like that. You pronounced it differently. You spelled it celery, and you sucked me into this vortex.
I'm down with deny salary. I like that a lot.
Christy needs to fix this.
Ask her about it, because I just don't. And it's weird because he said it and they went tight.
Yeah. We're
full frame on this thing. Like, boom. Like, hey, everybody, we are drawing attention to this thing.
Right. And I think they're saying, hey, look, everybody, he says celery, but he doesn't really know that he changed his name to celery. Like, he's unaware.
But we also live in a world where people's names are spelled one way and pronounced another way. And I don't know if everyone, like, I didn't know. I looked at it and go, wait a minute, that's not how you spell, or you do spell celery, or you don't spell celery. I couldn't have told you definitively if there were two L's or whatever. Wrong guy to ask. But either way, I'm bumped.
It's weird.
I'm bothered.
I'm down with Dawson's premise, which is maybe the people making the commercial a lot, isn't this a silly thing people will laugh at? It's like, no, it's not. It's not laughable at all.
Would you want an accountant that dumb that he doesn't know how to pronounce celery?
Well,
as simple as it sounds funny.
But you're also allowed to spell your name that is the spelling of something, and your family pronounces it different. It happens. It's happened.
Do you know how many Shapiros are at the synagogue?
Right. So, but here's where they really screwed the pooch. Every joke they did was of a theme, you know, bad accountant. He starts with,
unethical.
When I'm done getting audited, or you don't need to see this paper, or I go to the Cayman Islands and I fell off, that guy's dead, this guy's up. It's all on brand with the theme of the commercial, and then you introduce celery, which just bumped me. Max Pratt, is there any word on the internet as to what the answer is?
There is zero, and if you Google Dennis Celery, one of the predictions is Dennis Celery joke?
Question mark.
Yeah, they're trying to figure it out too.
Is there a 60-second version? Sometimes, like you said, there's more story.
Well, that would be the online one, according to Christy. That's when they really
that's
do the
all
main
I can think of. All right. You guys, by the way, I love putting things out there and getting people's input back.
Totally.
It helps everybody. It helps you make decisions. Mm-hmm. If you are doing any kind of design or remod or building of any kind, or picking out a logo or anything, just get eyeballs on it.
And it's great, especially as it pertains to this show and our fans or listeners, like when they bring something to your attention you didn't even know about. Like, I was going to get Tessa a bike training wheels for her third birthday. I was like, she's in a bike, blah, blah. And everyone, I put it out there, like, hey, what's a good brand? And dozens of people who listen to the show replied, like, don't get the training wheel bike. That puts them back, you know.
Really?
Get the glider bike, the bike with no pedals, because it teaches them balance, and they'll catch on to biking faster when it comes time for a bike. Like, I would have never known that. Our listeners came through.
Never heard
That's
of
funny,
it.
That's funny, because I'm going to get Sonny a mountain bike for his birthday, and then Natalia, giant glider.
Oh.
Giant glider.
Oh,
beautiful,
come on.
Majestic.
Come on.
Giant glider.
She'll be fine.
So, somebody took the time to do like a charcoal drawing of a headshot of me that it's wonderful, or they're in prison or both, but it's like 3 foot by 3 foot and it's wonderful. And they sent me a bunch of old race posters from races Newman was in, and I had these things balled up and sort of hanging around. And I was just looking at it the other day, and I said to my guy, Peter, I said, let's get all this stuff framed. Get it framed, or buy the frame, or put it in the frame. It's always bald. The posters lay around until they get beat up to the point someone spills coffee on them, and then they can't. I said, put on a poster. And I didn't even really know which ones were rolled up, but he did it. And at some point, I realized I have two Datsun racing posters. I said, put those down in the gym. And one big shot of my head. One big shot of my head. And I'm like, what the hell am I going to do with this one big shot of my head? I can't put it up in my office. I can't put it up in the gym. I can't put it up anywhere. And I said, Peter, go into Sonny's room.
Come on.
Go into Sonny's room. He's got a high ceiling above his TV set, like 8 feet off the ground. Just hang That's this good. 3 foot by three yeah. foot picture of it in front of and put it over the TV in Sonny's room. I said, okay. Came home that evening, that afternoon. The fucking thing was in my office sitting on the sofa. I was like, Sonny, what's up? And he's like, hey, man, I can't. I can't.
I took it down.
I can't do it. And I said, no, I get it. I get it. It's unfair to Natalia. I get it. And you're good, brother. Mm. And this is you getting the shot of your beloved right. father, and she has no rendering of right. me. And I get why you don't think that's fair. But I talked to Natalia, and she's agreed. And he's like, I can't. If that thing's in my room, I that's where I throw my ball. It's like he's in prison. It's like the Great Escape.
Glenn Luke.
Great Escape.
Great Escape. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Steve
yeah.
McQueen in that.
In the hot box.
Right. And it's like, he said, Dad, no. And I said, all right, fair enough. Natalia. And she's like, no way. And I'm like, I'm just going to hang up. No. And then she walked in a room, and then she circled back. It's like, if that ends up in my room, like, it's the biggest deal in the world. I will break it. I can't. God. That cannot end up in my room. By the way, she'd have to clear her room with sage, like burnt sage. She'd have to have a shaman come in there and clear it if my fucking headshot was in there. But she's like, Dad, I am serious. I've never seen her more serious about a subject. And it's like, Jesus Christ, what the hell happened to kids? They're not even bad kids. I'm just thinking, like, when you're a kid, you wouldn't have thought you'd had a choice. If your dad came in your room, put a picture up,
that's where it lives now.
That's where it lives. That's it.
Wow.
Sonny had to get on a ladder and take it down. He's like, it's bigger than my TV set. Which is like, so what?
Wow.
Yeah.
That was very Mussolini of you to have a giant picture of yourself hanging above all the kids' TVs.
Now it's leaning against my sofa in my office.
What good is that?
Do we have a picture of it? I want to see it.
I didn't take a picture of it. It's just a big charcoal drawing. I'll find it.
Oh, you could auction that puppy off.
Yeah. I do have some
offer to Pete Brock for $500.
I have hot panel talk. First, let me ring up a spot here for Pepsi. New Year officially here. Everyone's making their resolutions, and Pepsi just wants to usher in a new decade a little differently. Encourage everyone to do what they want to do. Do what you enjoy. Be unapologetic. Like, you want to watch a game on Sundays with the boys? You do what I do. Hang out, watch a game. I do it. Or you want to go out and get out in a race car and turn a few hot laps? Turn a few hot laps in a race car. Stay away from the hang gliders, but definitely strap into that race car and do that. Everything simply falls away. Yeah, it does when you're out there doing what you want to do and you're out there living your life. And Pepsi wants to remind you of that. Pepsi. That's what I like. Pepsi, everybody. All right. Let's see. Willie T's calling in a second. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with some hot panel, diabolical solution to a problem, and Willie T ribs right after this.